Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inside Scoop Live, one of the many features of Reader Views. Hi, I'm Irene Watson, and I am the managing editor of Reader Views and the host for today. I'm really delighted to be speaking on the phone all the way from Vancouver, the Edward Bodie, and he is the author of two children's books, Kendra Candlestar and the Box of Whispers, and Kendra Candlestar and the Door to Unger. But before we talk to Lee, I'd really like to tell you a little about him. Known as the Wizard of Words, Lee Edward Bodie has been writing and illustrating stories about magic, monsters, and mystery for as long as he can remember, and we are going to talk a little bit more about that later. Lee is an engaging public speaker, as you will note, and he specializes in presentations and workshops for elementary-aged children. He has taught programs in Canada, the United States, and even South Korea. And in addition, he is also a co-founder of the Dream Workshop, which is Vancouver-based non-for-profit program in which children's authors, illustrators, and performers help kids publish their own books. It's a really neat idea, and again, we're going to talk about that too. And as the lead mentor for the Dream Workshop, Lee really finds continual inspiration in the enthusiasm and talents of his students, and I can understand why, because he certainly brings that up too. So, and gosh, we're just really here to talk about his latest book, Kendra Candlestar and the Door to Unger. And here is Lee Bodie. Welcome to Inside Scoop Live, Lee.
Oh, thank you.
Gosh, I really do want to talk about the Dream Workshop first before we go into your book, because this is something that is just really a neat idea that you're doing. So tell us all about it.
Well, Dream Workshop, it's an incredible environment. It's a really neat class, if I can call it that. And, you know, as you mentioned in that introduction, I really have been writing and illustrating my own stories for as long as I can remember. I probably wrote my first book when I was 5 or 6. And I always produced books, which meant, you know, I didn't understand that you could write a story without creating a book. So I would illustrate the book. I would write it. I would design a cover. I would give it a table of contents, even a copyright page. Because for me, that's just what you did with the story. So with Dream Workshop, we are actually helping kids not only just write creatively, but we actually help them desktop publish their own books. And they do all the things that, I don't know, a quote-unquote real author would do. Like, they write a bio. We help them design a cover. We even come up with the teaser text that would go on the back cover to try and sell the book. And they write little testimonials for each other. And it's really a lot of fun. And it's really just a place to help us be creative and to bring all these ideas together and to write our own stories. We have kids who write really long chapter novels, like fantasy novels or historical fiction. We have other kids who make books that are comprised of several short stories. So it's really just a highly creative, really fun environment. And it's really a class that I just helped try to create, keeping in mind what I was like when I was 10 or 11. So I was doing what these kids were doing when I was 10 or 11, but I just didn't have the structure or the guidance to help me.
Well, that is so great, because now that you have been both as the child writing these stories and not knowing any different, that, you know, you just kind of really felt that the whole story writing is about writing a book and actually publishing books now as an adult, that you can go back and really mentor these kids and encourage them because you've been there.
Well, that's a real, it's a real thrill for me. And I, you know, one of my, I guess one of the messages that I really try to communicate to my kids is, you know, you guys are writers. You know, they always think, well, one, you know, I'm not a real writer. And I keep trying to tell them, you guys are real writers. You're writing stories. You're putting in all this effort. You're revising your work. You're really thinking about it as a package. And, you know, I think sometimes as adult writers, we're often even not encouraged to think about the whole package by our publishers. That's their job, which is true. But I still think any author should really think about the end product and how they're going to talk about the book when it's done and how they're going to market it and all of these things. So I really try to reinforce to my kids, you know, like, you guys are real writers, and you are going to, you get to do all the stuff that published writers get to do.
That's incredible. You know, what an opportunity for those kids. That is such an opportunity. And from what I understand, also, you've taken this Dream Workshop to South Korea. Is that, am I correct?
Oh, that's, yep, that's correct. I guess I would call him my partner, who I started this program with, he is of Korean descent. So, and because of his background, we have a really strong connection with Korea, South Korea. So last summer, this most recent summer, we took a program and we did, see, normally our class is based here in the Vancouver area, and we do 15-class program, and it's, you know, it goes over 3 or 4 months. It's quite intensive, but of course, the end result is a book, so it's not something you can do in a week. Well, we did take a version of this class to South Korea, and we ran a week-long, I think it was 5 or 6 day summer camp, and the objective of that wasn't for them to each produce their own book, but just we could produce an anthology of all their work.
Oh.
So we had the theme of the circus, which is really a great theme, and one of the other teachers that works with us has a bit of a theatrical circus performing background. So we got to teach them circus tricks to help imagine what their characters were doing and what they would, you know, what really to help embody their personalities. And we wrote stories and we produced a little play. It was just a fabulous success.
How fun is that? Oh, my goodness. Wow. You know, you are so creative, so creative. And I just really admire the fact that you are passing your creativity and encouraging the kids to bring out their creativity. So let's just talk a little bit about your creative book. The second book, The Kendra Candle Star and The Door to Hunger. Now, is this a sequel to the first one?
It definitely is. So the first one, when I wrote the first book, Kendra Candlestore and the Box of Whispers, I didn't really have a grand vision or a grand plan to create a series or to write a sequel. I thought it had the structure, and it had the characters, and it had, you know, the meat to turn into a series, but I didn't really plan on that. I think as a writer, I'm a little bit of a commitment phobe, and I'm worried about, you know, will I have another idea, you know, perhaps some feelings that terrorize a lot of writers. But the book has been fairly successful, and it's done very well, and I had so much fan mail, and I continue to get fan mail on that first book. And the number one question was, when is the next book coming out? And I thought, well, there isn't a next book. So I started really thinking about it, and, you know, one of the things I like to do, well, for me as a writer, I don't want to just write follow-up adventures. I need to have a really strong idea, not only plot-wise, but also thematically. So I did come up with what I felt was a really strong idea for a sequel, and that resulted in Kendra Candlestar and The Door to Hunger. But I realized once I was writing that book, there was no way I could finish off the storyline I had in my head in that sequel. So there will definitely be at least one more book, but it's looking now it'll be up to 5.
Oh, wow. Great. And also, I understand that you do your own illustrations, not only for the cover, but also inside the book, too, which is a little type of a different novel. It's really not it's actually a novel, but it does have some illustrations in it.
It is definitely, it's kind of a funny thing. It's different than your average chapter novel because of the number of illustrations in it. So there's over 100 illustrations in each of my Kendra Candlestar books, which is unusual for a book that's being produced, you know, in the current market, but it's not unusual for books that were produced over 100 years ago. And when I was a kid, those were the books I really loved. Because I'm such a visual person, I loved tons of pictures. And I was a very strong reader, and I think sometimes people confuse too many pictures with a juvenile book. I don't really approach books with that stigma, and I think I just really wanted to emulate the types of books I loved when I was a kid. And as a writer, I find it really almost difficult to write without drawing. Most of my books begin with drawings. They begin as drawings in my sketchbooks with notes, and then some of those notes turn into pages of paragraphs, and then that's eventually how my stories evolve. And that's just the way I think. So, you know, a book is always a reflection of who you are, and since I'm such a highly visual person, my books, I think, reflect that aspect of my personality.
Oh, I agree. After seeing the book and looking at the illustrations, I can certainly say that. And what's interesting is you're saying that, the chapter books don't have illustrations in, at least the ones that are being published now, yet quite some time ago there were a lot of illustrations. But it's interesting that the graphic novels are picking up speed again, and people are reading those, and they're popular. This is not a graphic novel, but it's certainly the illustrations are prevalent in it.
Yeah, it's a funny, I think it's just a funny trend. I think there's this kind of conflict between these two worlds. Like, there's the graphic novels, which you're correct, are becoming very popular. But then this idea that books are pure and should be something different. And I don't, you know, I tend not to worry too much about these things. People either love my books or they don't, I guess. But I've never had anyone, I've never had a child come to me or email me or send me a fan, you know, a piece of fan mail and say, too many pictures. That's never been the case. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I'll just keep doing what works for me.
Exactly, and what the readers want. And
right.
That's what I'm hearing. So give us a little backstory on The Door to Unger.
Well, in the first book, Kendra Kenelstar and the Box of Whispers, the readers know that Kendra is, I guess you could call her an orphan. She lives with her uncle, Griffin Skitch, who is a powerful wizard in her society, and he is a bit of a grump, but he is her caretaker. So she's not, you know, she does have someone who loves her and looks after her, but she doesn't have a mother or a father. And what she knows about her family, her mother, her father, and her brother, actually, they disappeared a long time ago when she was a baby. They disappeared in what we call the dangerous outside world, because Kendra belongs to a race called the Eens, who live inside this protected world that is hidden by a magic curtain, and no one other than Eens can find it. And her parents were somewhat pioneering in the fact that they were, or unusual, I guess, they left the land of Eens and they disappeared. So I never really followed or delved too much into that storyline in The Box of Whispers, but of course it's one of the questions kids asked me constantly, what became of her family, will we ever know, and this kind of burning desire to know. And really, The Door to Unger explores the mystery of what became of her family. And Kendra is sitting at home one night when she's visited by an Unger. And an Unger is a troll-like creature who is, the Ungers are really the enemies of the Eens, and they're not supposed to be able to even get into the land of Eens, let alone have anything to do with the Eens. But one night, a very old, wizardly Unger visits her, which is very upsetting because, of course, he shouldn't even be in her world. But he does get in somehow and tells her if she can find this fabled door to Unger, it's going to shed some light on what became of her family. And, of course, Kendra, being who she is, she decides to set off and find this door and determine just what happened, just what became of her family all those years ago.
And, of course, you're not going to tell us, are you?
No, I'm not, because that would ruin it. There is actually, that would ruin the whole story. There is actually in this book a plot twist at the end. I guess you could call it a plot twist. And I mean, it's just because it's something the readers aren't expecting. And it, you know, I took a bit of a risk, I guess, with this book, putting in that plot twist. But emotionally, it felt so right. I have been a little worried about what the reader response would be. This book has been out for about a month and a half, maybe 2 months. And I'm starting to get the reader responses, and it's all very positive. So I can breathe a sigh of relief that they took this plot twist quite well. There's been no negative reaction to it from my young readers.
That's great. That's great.
And it really sets up the next book. So that's, you know, sometimes as a writer you have to, you know, you make all these decisions about plots and characters and storylines. And I don't know if other writers feel this way exactly, but sometimes I feel a route or a trail through a story becomes very clear. And even if you want to change it, sometimes you can't. You just have to keep sliding down that hill.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Are you an author looking for another way to make your book available to your reading audience? If so, how about entering the revolutionary world of ebooks for Amazon Kindle? Amazon recently launched their new ebook reader that is now sweeping the masses by providing not only the ebook reader limitless possibilities, but it also now provides the opportunity for all authors to have their book available in the ebook format. The Kindle is the newest book reading device to hit the market. Let ReaderViews help you get your book on Amazon in just a few easy steps. You provide us the information and we'll upload it for you. At the same time, we will optimize your ebook by ensuring that your book is compatible and looks great on the new Kindle reader. For more information, please go to readerviews.com and click on the services for authors in the top menu bar. There you will see the services we provide, as well as the link for your Kindle ebook production. The success of your book is our greatest interest. Go to readerviews.com today.
And now back to Inside Scoop Live.
Well, you certainly know what your audience wants, and obviously you're writing for them. I also find it fascinating that the kids are really interested in fantasy. They love fantasy books. We have a number of reviewers that that's all that they will read is fantasy stories. So what is it? What is it about fantasy books, stories that these kids love?
You know, I can only really speak for the 10-year-old kid that lives in my brain at the time. You know, when I was a kid, I grew up, I live in Canada, and I live in a big city, and I'm a very urban person, but I grew up on a farm in a very rural community. And that was a tough environment for me because I didn't really fit in. I wasn't interested in a lot of the things that were going on in that community, like hunting and farming and things like that. I grew up on a farm, and so I spent a lot of my time doing chores. Saturday morning, I would get up and I would clean the chicken coop, which is like this very disgusting chore. It'd take me a couple hours sitting there shoveling chicken poop. And I just hated these types of chores. And, you know, I would just, as I was doing these things, I would just completely disappear into my head to make the time pass, and I would start telling myself stories. If my brother was with me doing whatever chore it was we were tasked with doing, I would sometimes tell him the stories out loud. But this was really a way to escape. And I was, you know, I loved fantasy books when I was a kid. The Wizard of Oz books, the Narnia books, I kept hoping I'd find a secret portal to one of these worlds so I could escape the chicken coop. So I imagine, you know, I don't know how many of my readers have ever shoveled chicken poop, but I imagine, you know, the attraction of fantasy is probably the escape factor, the complete escapism. We're surrounded by so much reality, I think. I remember being a kid, and you know, I come from another generation where you were still bombarded by news and everything, but it's even multiplied now. And I think it's fun to escape and explore. And sometimes I think the other element of fantasy is that you can explore ideas and themes that are more, you know, you're able to ingest them better when they're kind of removed and put in that fantasy world. And I definitely think I explore some of those kinds of themes and thoughts in my books.
Yes, you do. And so that just takes me on to the next question, Lee. What aspects of yourself actually show up in the stories?
Well, I think, you know, the one of the main factors about the Ean people, Kendra's people, is that they seem to live with a lot of, I'm not going to call it paranoia because that's too strong of the word, but they definitely have a healthy dose of concern about the world that exists beyond their secret hidden world of Ean. It's a frightening place to them. I should say, you know, they are smaller elf-like creatures, so they're tiny, so the world is quite big for them. And I think I used to be a person who lived in a lot of fear and a lot of self-doubt and a lot of concern. And I, you know, having been a person who is like that, it's very real. And I just think with Kendra, she embodies a different sort of spirit, perhaps a spirit I hope to be or hope to become, where she's a little bit more brave. She's a little bit less concerned about what everyone else thinks. She kind of walks her own road. She doesn't always do what's right, if I can put that in quotation marks. She doesn't always do what's right in terms of her society, but she does what she feels is right in her heart. And that can be, you know, that's a real kind of trite statement. It's easy to say that, but it's a different thing to be able to act that way. And I think Kendra, throughout these stories, continually, throughout her adventure, she continually follows her heart and acts that way. And she takes risks and she takes chances. And, you know, I don't know how much we, you know, encourage that in society. I'm not even talking about for children. I just mean in general. So I think that's what I really try to show with Kendra Candlestar, is just a trueness to herself, to her own being.
Well, and there's always an underlying message of some sort in all stories, regardless if they're fantasy or, you know, any type of fiction or even a nonfiction. And so what I'm hearing is, you know, taking risks, taking chances, that's big. And those underlying messages are really important to get through to the kids. And I believe that you've done that very well.
Thank you.
So you were telling a few little stories, shoveling chicken poop and chicken coops. What other things did you do when you were a kid that just don't fit in? It seems to me, if I recall one other time when I talked to you, Lee, was there something to do with running into a toilet?
Oh, yeah. Well,
you
know, not a toilet, an outhouse. That was, see, my dad was determined that I should be a farmer. I was the oldest boy. And, you know, my dad was a farmer, his dad was a farmer, and et cetera. So it's kind of that cliche idea that I should just take over the farm. And clearly I just had no interest or aptitude in any of these things. My head was always in the clouds. And that was when I was about 10 years old. My dad decided, you know, enough's enough. You're going to straighten this boy out, and he's going to learn how to drive the tractor. And I guess maybe he thought that if I learned how to drive the tractor, I would somehow fall in love with farming. But I know I was driving this tractor. I was probably thinking up a story. And my dad, we had this old outhouse, this outdoor toilet on our farm. We didn't use it. It had been there for, you know, it was there when we bought the farm. And it was just sitting there. My dad decided I could use this outhouse for an obstacle on this tractor training course. And I was supposed to drive the tractor in this trailer he hooked up to it around the outhouse. But, of course, did I do that? No, I ran right through the outhouse. And it was so old and dilapidated, it just came crumbling to the ground. There was absolutely nothing left but this pile of sticks. And my dad was just livid. And he, I just remember him yelling at me, and he was just, he couldn't believe how I could destroy this outhouse. And he said to me, "You'll never drive the tractor again." And, of course, that made me very happy on the inside. So I think it was kind of at that point where he realized that perhaps I was better suited to be, to pursue my own life path and become, I was so interested in art and literature, and those are things he didn't really understand at the time. But I think that's when he started going, okay, he needs to do his own thing.
You know, that's such a common thing that we hear so often, that the parents just have such visions for their kids, and yet they don't understand sometimes when the child doesn't have that same vision. And it's only because the parent, not to fault the parent, but they just don't understand that world, like you say, literature and art. Your father was a farmer. That was his art.
Right,
he was
exactly.
At it, but he was in this box, and so it's great that he finally got it. And what it took was this tractor. And
the only casualty was an outhouse, so we should be thankful.
Exactly.
Because I've had some kids suggest to me in this, when I've told that story, that I should have ran the tractor over the chicken coop. Then I could have solved a lot of problems in one, you know, one fell swoop.
That's too funny. So you were saying earlier about the chicken coop, and that you would be cleaning up the chicken coop and creating stories in your own mind, but also if your brother happened to be there, you would relate the stories to him. So is this what got you really started on the storytelling, or what inspired you into storytelling?
You know, I think so. I mean, it's kind of funny because as I was always an artist and a writer, and when I was in university, a young person, I did fall off my own path, and just, you know, and I kind of bought into this idea that you can't become an illustrator or a writer because you'll starve. And I just wanted to be anything other than a writer. And then, but I was always writing anyway because I couldn't stop myself. But I didn't know, I always thought maybe I'll be a literary writer, or I'll be a newspaper reporter, or I'll be this, or I'll be that. And I finally, you know, I think all along I was just a children's writer. And one of the things that kept me connected with that genre is not only my brother, my brother was a couple years younger than me, but my sister is 12 years younger than I am. So when I was a teenager, I had this very little kid, and quite often I had to look after her. So I kind of was re-immersed, you know, at that time when most of us are teenagers, we're leaving behind those children books and those things that we really loved. But they were kind of right in front of my face again, or continued to be, because of my younger sister, and I was always reading to her, and, you know, we would put on puppet shows and stuff for her. So anything to entertain her. And I think that kept me with one foot in that world, and it was kind of always there. And then I realized, I think, in my mid-20s that was really, you know, I tried to shake it, but that was really what I loved to do, and that was really the world that I wanted to be in. And, you know, I'm just thankful that I realized that sooner than later.
Exactly. And you took that risk, and look where it got you. So, and that's exactly what I had heard you say earlier about this book, about both books, actually, is that Kendra Kendall stars in. So it's taking risks.
That's right. I mean, and the risk, you know, the risks we're talking about that she takes, I don't want to give anyone the impression that Kendra Kendall starts running across train tracks.
Oh, right.
But it's really what we're talking about is emotional risk.
Right.
And, you know, it can be a really big emotional risk to stand up for someone you love, or a big emotional risk to stand up for something you believe in if it's going to result in maybe you're getting teased or ridiculed or anything like that. And I'm not even talking about kids, because I think we all love to tell kids. I know, because I have so many kids in my life through my teaching. We, you know, kids are always being told what to do, but I don't know if as adults we always practice what we preach. And I think a lot of adults, it's also scary and can be risky to stand up for what we believe in, because we're always worried about what the consequences are going to be.
Of course. Gosh. It's just been a real pleasure talking to you again, Lee, and you chatting about yourself, your life, and your latest book, Kendra Candlestar and The Door to Unger. It sounds like a really neat book, and I know that our reviewer really loved it. She thought that was a great book, and it's been such a pleasure again talking to you. So, Lee, would you remind our listening audience of your website address?
Oh, of course. You can reach my website through www.leefodi.com. That's LEFODI.com.
That's great. And, you know, listeners, do go to that website because Lee's got a lot of fun stuff in there. It's colorful. It's joyful. It's got some really neat things for the kids, actually, too, to check out. So, again, Lee, thank you so much for spending the time with us and giving us such an insightful interview into your book and into your life, too.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And I'd like to remind our listening audience that you can link to Lee's author's page on Inside Scoop Live or the book review on Reader Views to either purchase the book or read the review. And please do visit our other interviews also. I'm your host, Irene Watson, and thank you for listening for this delightful interview with Lee Edward Fodi, the author of Kendra Candlestar and The Door to Unger. And please do check the other interviews and with the authors on Inside Scoop Live. Bye for now.